It says Daf is Daf Mem Tes. So we got two lines down, the two dots. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Bifnei She'amu Efshar V'chulu, that the Mishnah had said that it's impossible for the Elyon to come prior to the Tachton. So the Gemara repeated that phrase, the Mishnah repeated that phrase two times. To ask the Gemara, Sulamali, why repeat it twice, that Yefshar Le'elyon Levo Ad Shelo Batachton? We said it, already said it once. Ha'tana L'Reisha. And the Gemara says, because maybe he wants to tell you that we repeat the din. The whole machlokas in the Mishnah, whether it's possible for the Elyon to come before the Tachton, was machlokas between the Chacham and the Rebbe Meir. Chacham said it's impossible. Rebbe Meir felt it was possible. So maybe they're repeating the statement of Efshar Lavo to tell you that we're passing like the Shitas Rabbanon. So v'chitema mishum dekabai l'mistema k'rabbanon. What's the pshita? We know that. We don't need the Mishnah to tell me. We have a klal in general that yachad rabbim halachic rabbim. So even if the Mishnah had not repeated the phrase Efshar le'elyon levotacha before the Elyon, it still we would know the psaki like the Rabbanon. So the more answers that mal the same, what would you have thought? Mistavra taima the Rebbe Meir. Really, Rebbe Meir's shita makes more sense. Even though he's a yachid, he makes more sense because the Kav Messiah Le Krav, the Psukim, the Pashim Shah, the two Psukim Yechezkel that we brought yesterday, both of them supported the Shita Rebbe Meir. So yeah, the Chacham were able to reinterpret it. The Pashim Shah was like Rebbe Meir, and therefore maybe we should Paschal like him. And Kamashvam, the Gemara had to tell us, the Mishnah had to tell us, no, we Paschal like Chacham. And that was the reason why they had to repeat the phrase again, Eif Shar, L'tachto Navo Ad Shelo B'ha Elyum. Ibai Seyma, alternatively, the Gemara suggests that the reason why they repeat the line of Efshar Le'elyon Levad Shelo B'Tachton is to tell me Mishum Dekar Bay L'Misnei Kiyotzei Ba. It's really setting up the next mission, the very next mission that we're going to see, that starts off Kiyotzei Ba, that there are similar cases where certain things are impossible, so we wanted to rephrase that statement to set up the next mission up, which we're going to learn right now. Okay, the mission tells us as follows. Getting to the Dinam of Tumah V'Tara. The Mishnah says, Kiyotzei Bo, in a similar way, that you have different things that are impossible to happen, the Elyon and Tachton, Legabi, the Simanim of an Isha. The Mishnah says, Kol Kli Cheres Shehu Machnis Motzi. Any type of Kli that has a hole that's able to Machnis, that water could enter into the Kli through a certain size hole, so that also would be clear that's Motzi, then certainly water will be able to exit through that hole. But then you do have a case of Yeshit Shemotzi V'Eino Machnis, but you do have situations where the hole is small enough where water could exit the Kli, but water can't enter the Kli. And the way it works, physically, is that there's pressure. So when there's water in a Kli with a small hole, so water is going to exit because there's a certain amount of pressure that's causing it to leave. But to have water go into the Kli, that same hole might be too small. There's no water pressure pushing it in, and therefore you can have an instance where water could exit a Kli through a hole, but it may not enter. Eino machnis. Then the Mishnah says, similarly, kol eiver sheyesh bo tziporin yesh bo etzem. Any limb that has a nail, so that we assume there's a bone there as well. We'll look in the Mishnah, Rashi, in a second, what the relevance is. And yesh bo etzem, vein bo tziporin. But there are instances where there's a bone, but there may not be a nail. So take a look at Rashi in the Mishnah. Rashi says, kol eiver sheyesh bo yaseru. We're not referring to an eiver on the body. Obviously, the many limbs of the body where there are no nails. But this person could be born with an extra finger, sixth finger. So if it's an Aver, an Etzba Yisera, an extra finger, so the klal is, if there's a Yeshbo Tzipar, and if that sixth finger has a nail on it, Yeshbo Etzem, and there's an Etzem, there's a bone there as well in that finger. The Havi Aver Chashiv is considered a real Aver, and the significance is, it's Metami Ba'ohel Afil Ein Bo Shir. Even though normally, to create Tumas Ohel, you need a Kazayas of Mace, if there's an Aver Shalom, even though that Aver Shalom might be less than a Kazayas, that's Metame as well. The next Rashi is Yeshbo Etzem. There are instances where that extra finger might have a bone, but it may not have a finger on it. V'lohavi aver. If there's no fingernail, rather, then it wouldn't be considered an aver. In yaseres, if it's considered extra. Rashi just points out, though, about einosha yaseres, afil ein bo tzipor an aver hu mitame. If it's not an extra finger, meaning if the guy has got five fingers, like a regular person does have, and if one of the fingers is missing a fingernail, that would still be considered aver. Our whole discussion here is only if it's an extra, it's a sixth finger, then the indicator will be whether there's a fingernail or not a fingernail. That will indicate whether it's a aver or not an aver, which would then tell us whether it would be mitame tumas ohel. Then the Mishnah says, the third halacha brought down in the Mishnah is a kol mitame midras mitame tame meis. Anything that's mitame midras. The midras is a certain type of tumah that if a zav were to sit on a seat, a chair, a couch, that's mitame at avatumah. So if it's considered a couch, it's also considered mitame tumah, mitame meis. What do I mean mitame meis? It means it's a kli. A kli is mekabel tumah. I will look at Rashi also to understand this. But yesh shematame tamimeis veino matame midrash. You do have instances where something would be a kli that is makabel tumas meis, but it doesn't qualify. It's not considered a chair, right? Every single chair, which means tumas midrash, is by definition a kli. If it's a kli, that means it's tumas meis. But you can't have a kli that's matame tumas meis, can become tame from an eight meis, but it's not considered a chair. So if a zav were to sit on a pot, let's say, that might not be considered midrash, even though it's considered a kli. And the Gemara is going to give examples of this. Okay, so this is a completely different topic. I know Maseches Yedidin is in Seder Taros, but this is a heavy tumah stuff. So the Gemara says as follows. Machnis pasal lemei chatas, upasal mishum gistra. Moti kasha lemei chatas, upasal mishum gistra. What in the world is going on here? So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says lemei chatas. The Kaddish bo mechadis. In order to be mekadish the waters that were collected for the purposes of paraduma, you have to put in a kli. Rachman Amar, the Torah says, Maim chaim el keli, the high lava klihu. This is not a kli. So if there's a hole that is large enough, remember, if it's going to be machnis, it means it's a larger hole. The smaller hole could be motzi, but may not be machnis. But once it's machnis, that's a large hole. So if that's kli, if you put it in water, and water will enter into that hole in the kli, that's not called a kli. And that's pasul for the purposes of mechatas. And it's also pasul mishum gister, Rashi explains, what does that mean? Kolomar kol shekein, certainly, shim nikva gistera, what's a gister? Gister Rashi doesn't tell us, but the next Rashi does tell us. If you look at Rashi, the next one, we'll come back to this one afterwards. Gister Rashi says, is hainu shivrei kli cheres. It's a broken piece of pottery. Haruin lemlacha, v'dai mekablin tumam. It's a broken piece of pottery, but still significant in size that you could still hold water in it, but it's still broken. It's not a full kli. So it's makabel tuma. And so now back to the previous Rashi to figure out what's going on now. Upasa mishum gistera. So this kli cheres, this shivrei kli cheres, kolomar, kol shekeinim nikva gistera bakonis mashka. Certainly, if you have a broken pottery, which then has a hole in this broken pottery, which is able to allow water to enter in, bakonis mashka, Batalei Matar's Gistura, the Tara Mikol Tuma. That certainly is Tara now, from any Tuma. Deha Filu Klishalim, Michinak of Kikonis Mashka Batalei. Because even if you had a Klishalim, a regular Kli, it's been fully intact. If there's a hole that size, it's possible. So certainly a Shivre Klicheris, which broken, even though it has a function now, once it develops a hole that's Machnis Mashka, that certainly will be possible as well. So we see this din of Machnis, that there's a hole that's machnis the liquid into it, it disqualifies a kli for the purposes of mechatas, and also disqualifies a gister. And then the Gemara says again, motzi, if the water, rather the hole is small enough that water won't enter, but it's still large enough that water will exit from the kli, so that's kashla mechatas, that actually does qualify for the mechatas. You may use it as the kli for the mechatas, but it's still possible for the purposes of the gistra. If a broken piece of pottery has a hole that allows water to exit, that disqualifies from the shivrei kli cheres of being a kli, and therefore would be entirely tahor. If you just look at Rashi, Rashi says, the moti, the neck of katan, it's a small neck, kashla mechatas, the kli shalim, the neck of katan, kli hai lo batel. A small hole will not disqualify a kli for mechatas, but pasul mishum gistra, Rashi says, gistra shenikva afilu kamoti mishka mashkin batlile. Okay, Rashi doesn't add anything there. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Asi, shonin, so we learn shoa shonin, mean Rashi shonin, that halacha Moshe Mishinai, we have a tradition which dates back to halacha Moshe Mishinai as follows. A klei cheres, shi'uro bekonis mashke. A klei cheres, the shear, is the amount of water, the hole, that allows water to enter in. And what that means is, that we read that, Rashi says, shi'uro bekonis mashke, pachos shel shi'urim, hamevalon osom mihios kli. We have a tradition. All shi'urim, the Gemara tells us in many places, all shiurim of mechitzas, of whatever it is, dates back to Halacha Moshe Mishinai. So we have a tradition that the hole that allows water to enter into a kli, that disqualifies a kli. Fine. And then the Gemara says, V'lo amru motzi mashke el inyan gister b'lai. So even though we know throughout all of halachas of Tumah V'Tahara, only konis mashke, once it's big enough to bring water in, so then it disqualifies a kli, but if it doesn't allow water to go and it only allows water to exit, that's still a kasher kli. There's only one area where motzi mashke, where water is able to leave, it's a small hole that only water leaves but doesn't come in, it only affects the gistera. Why does it only affect gistera? Because the Gemara explains my timer. So Amar Marzucha Brei Dev Nachum Lefish Ein Omrim Hava Gistera LeGistera. Because the whole idea is, if you look at Rashi to explain around six lines up from the bottom, Rashi says, The fishein omrim haba gistu la gistu. We don't bring a broken clay charis for another broken clay charis. In other words, kishenikra kishemotzi mashke shivein chatala ve'ema shamishba. When you have a kli with a hole big enough that water leaves, no one cares about the kli anymore. You throw it out. Shein omer, we don't say haba gistu la charis v'naniach tachat gistu zeh. We don't say, oh, let's get another broken piece of pottery to catch the water that's exiting. We know that's really not worth the time. Aval b'kli shlam, when it's a full kli, when there's a hole that water is going to exit, lo bata miklum. The fishahu chasalav, you still don't want to throw the kli out, you'll bring another backup kli. In other words, the idea is, let's say I got a full kli. So if there's a hole that water even comes in, that's big enough, I'll throw it out. There's a hole that's small that only water exits, but doesn't come in, it still exits though, I'll just bring up a gistra to hold up that kli shalim. I'll hold it like a, to catch all the overflow water from that hole. Like if I got a broken cup, I'll put it into another cup to stop the water from leaving. But my initial kli is not a kli shalim. My initial kli is a gistra, a broken kli charis, and now I've got another hole that water is exiting from. I'm not going to bring another gistra to take the overflow of the original gistra. It's already too much shaving. I'm not going to like, take aluminum foil and another aluminum foil to plug everything. And therefore, even though normally a hole that's small that only is motzi water, even though normally it doesn't mevatel the kli, when it comes to a gistra of a broken kli charis, it will disqualify that from being considered a kli. Okay. Now the Gemara wants to know, Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa says, how do you check whether or not a kli is machnis or mashke? How do you know? I have a hole in the side of my kli. Do I know that cup has a whole orange juice leaving or coming in? How does one know this? So the Gemara says very simple. There's a very simple way to test it out in the lab. Ketzad bodkin kli charis liyada imnekev bikonis mashke imlach. How do you know if the water is able to be machnis, that water will enter into a kli? How do you know the hole is big enough? Right, for the purposes of a regular pot, a regular metal or other full kli, we don't care that water can enter. We only care water leaves. So if I have a kli and water's leaving, okay, that's too big, well, the disqualify is no longer considered kli. But for kli charis, there could be a hole there, and we have to know if water will be able to even enter in to it. How do you know? So the Gemara says that milea areva milea mayim. You fill up a some type of a bucket of water. No saying kadera latocha. And now the kadera that's in question, you just put the kadera inside the water, and you don't let water come overflow on the top of it, but you just place it inside. And just the bottom of it. Now, im kansa, if water enters in through the, into the kli, so then biyadua, it's clear, shikonis mashka, it's clear that water is able to enter in. Very simple, science project. Vimlav, if you put the kli in and no water is going in, that means biyadua shimoti mashka, that the water, is not coming in, the water only exits, but the water is not able to enter into that kli. Alright? Very bad, they threw that neck of it. It's a very, very simple solution. That's according to the Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Yehuda comes along, Rabbi Yehuda says different. Rabbi Yehuda says, you have to do something different. I'm not sure if I'm copying this Metzias here. Rabbi Yehuda says that, Omer, Kofef Ozne Keder Lasocha. You have to, what he says, invert the lips of this pot that's in question and place it face down into this this bucket of water. So you're putting it upside down now. Excuse me?
This is into a dry trough.
Oh, right. But there's no water there yet. You put it into a bucket. And then Meitzif Alav Mayim, and then afterwards you put water on top, and as the water rises and flows on the bottom of the inverted pot, so now the water is going on top of the pot, so the hole's on the bottom. So the hole right now, you flipped it over, so now when the pot's upside down, the hole's on top here. So you fill the bucket with water, water's slowly rising, and it goes on top of the pot now. Now in Konis, if the water is going to enter in from the top now, the Adush Konis Mashiach means the hole is big enough for the water to enter in. If it's not, so there'll be a dua shemoti mashka, that the water only exits the pot if it's inside, but it doesn't enter from the outside. And the reason why this is better is because Rabbi Yehuda felt, and Rashi points out, if you put it in a bucket of water directly, all the pressure is going to force the water inside. We want to know if the water is going to enter in or not without any additional pressure. So by putting it upside down and having the water kind of rise over, there's no pressure of the water there. That water will come in because the hole is big enough, or it won't come in, but there's no added pressure. And therefore, he felt that was a better science lab test to know whether or not that neck of it is big enough or not. Oh, alternatively, shofsa al gabe or. You should place the pot of water inside over fire. Okay? And then im haor mamida, if the fire holds back the water and that the water doesn't exit, So then you know that water, normally the water is big enough to leave. In lav, the fire doesn't hold back the water from coming out. So it's clear that the water is coming in. So I don't get this matiz. I think I'm missing something. I am missing something here. So I don't know, I'm not sure why this is the proper test. I read this article a few times, so I'm not fully grasping it. Somehow this is a proper test. Maybe Rashi will help us out. Look at Rashi. Rashi writes, first narrow line down, Im ha'or ma'mida, so yata mashke, if the fire holds the water back from leaving the hole, so the hole, yadua shenekav katanu, we know that the hole is small. V'niroi l'hachnis mashke, then certainly the water won't be able to enter in. So I'm not sure.
Something of the idea that the fire makes the pot expand in some way?
Yeah, maybe. It could be, but I don't know why that would indicate what would be if the fire isn't there.
Right.
So I'm not sure. I'll just read through the end. That's one approach. And then Rabbi Yossi says, in a similar way, Rabbi Yossi says, Omer, aflo shovsa gabe or, he says, no, don't place the pot over the fire, because the fire is going to hold back the water. Even if it's really large, the fire will prevent the water from coming down. I guess the fire pushes against the water from exiting the hole. But Ella, what he's suggesting is shofsa agabe haremet, put it on top of embers or hot coal, and im remet ma'amida, if the remet holds it back from exiting, then biadua shemosi mashka, then it's clear that if the remet wasn't there, the water would exit. Vim lav, had it not been that way, biadua shekones mashka, so then you know that it enters in. Tahaya torid tipa achar tipa, if one puts the water in a pot that's in question, and it drips out, drip after drip, biyadua shekonis mashke, it also indicates that water is able to enter in. So again, I don't know the matzias here to know how these tests work. I'm not getting enough from any of the Gemaras I've been using, but these are different tests somehow. So Gemara wants to know, in the end of the day, Ma'ikia ben Tanakam le Rabbi Huda, what is the nafkamina between these two shitas, whether you put over the fire or you put over the remets? And the Gemara says, Amar Aula, who explains, kinas ha'idea dechaki kebenayim. The difference is entering the water through pressure. I mean, according to the Tanakhama, so even though it enters maybe through pressure, Rabbi Huda, the Tanakhama thinks it's sufficient. We don't care how it enters in. Entering through pressure is still a way of entering in. And Rabbi Huda felt that no, if it's going to enter in through pressure, that doesn't indicate it's Konish Mashke. You have to have a situation whereby there's no pressure at all that's pushing the water in, and it's just going to come in a natural way through nothing more than gravity, I guess. Okay, back to things which I think I understand. The Gemara now says, Kol Aver Sheish Bot Tziporin. We had in the Mishnah that this extra finger, if there was a limb, if there's an Aver, so then we know that there's a fingernail as well. And if there's a fingernail, say if there's a fingernail, it doesn't mean necessarily that. Sorry, that one more time. The Kol Aver Sheish Bot Tziporin is anything that has a fingernail. So then we know for sure that there's anything that's an aver has a fingernail. That which has a bone doesn't necessarily have a fingernail. So Gemara it says that yesh bo tzipor, when you have a situation that if the extra finger has a fingernail, mitami b'magamasa bohel, then it's a tumah across the board. It's tumah if you touch it. It's tumah if you carry it. It's tumah if you're in the ohel of it, of a dead body. Yesh bo etzamein bo tzipor, if it has a bone, but there is no fingernail, so then, metame b'agva masav, ain't metame b'ol. It does metame if one touches it. It's metame a person if he carries it. But if it's in the same ol as a person, it's not considered an aver, whereby it will transmit the tumas ol. Amr of Chista says, "Davar zeh Rabbeinu Hagadol Amr." This is the thing that Rabbeinu Hagadol said, and they said it's a tie point. Hamakom Yehi Be'ezra. He was very ill, so Kadosh Baruch Hu should have mercy and help him out. Fine. Es b'yisera sheish bo etzem vein bo tziporin. If there's an extra finger that has a bone but doesn't have a fingernail, it's metame b'maga u'masa vein metame. Oh, that's exactly what we had just said. Fine, everything's consistent. So Amar Rabba bar Barchana Amar Yochanan, he says u'ksheino nisperes al gave hayad. It's all true when this extra finger is not aligned with the other fingers on the hand. Only is that the case where it's not metame tumas ol. But if the extra finger is aligned with the other five, so the sixth going across now, then even if there is no fingernail, that would then be metame tumas ohel. Then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Kol ha-metame midras, anything that's metame midras, which means something that if a zav were to sit on it, would also be metame tumas mace, which means it's a kli. But you have instances where it's a kli, that's makabel tumas mace, but it doesn't qualify as too much midrash. So kol chazir the midrash, anything that's fit for midrash, mitame tumei meis, v'yesh mitame meis, v'ema mitame midrash, which is exactly what we just said. So lasuyimai, what's this coming to include? So lasuyimai saw v'tarkiv. Saw v'tarkiv is a certain volume, a certain size. It's referring to a size of a container. If a container, a pot, or something is so large, that would also be considered too much midrash. What does that mean? So Rashi explains here that. So Rashi says that it wouldn't be considered too much midrash. Lasuye Savatarki, Rashi says, Shaina Midrash Hazav Tame Adam Akalim, about Tamem Haim Tumas Maga Hazav, Lios Rishonim, Ubimes and Asin Av Hotuma. That they would be considered, even though they're Kalim, they're big enough to be considered Kalim, they're not considered chairs or couches what to sit on, and there wouldn't be too much midrash. So Gemara explains the Sanya, the Hayoshiv Alakli. So this is a pasuk by the Zav. When the Zav sits on this Kli, so then that Kli is Tameh. So Gemara says, Yachal, one might think, Kafa Sa'av, Yashar Alef, you take a basket that's the size of a saw and you flip it around and sit on it. Oh, Tarkiv, Yashar Alef, or a container that holds the volume of a Tarkiv, you sit on the back side of the container. Yeh, Tameh, one would think that should be Tameh Tumas Midrash as well. Tameh Lomar, Asher Yeshiv Alef HaZav, only that which the Zav sits on, what's the Joshua? Mishim Yuchal the Yeshiva, only that which is designated for Yeshiva. A chair, a couch, these are designated for sitting, but a container, even though it's a large container, even though I'm able to sit on it, that's not meant for sitting. Or and let's say, for example, you have a plastic container, you know, the milk carton, the milk containers that carry the milk. So I flip it around, you sit on it on Tisha B'Av, that's plastic, so it's not too much, it's not clean in the first place. But let's say it was made of metal, and you flip around and sit on it, that wouldn't be too much zav, because that's not a kise, that's a kli. So Yatzazeh, to exclude this case, Sh'omim lo amud v'nasim lachinu. We say, you know, we don't really say it, but we say to the container, don't be a seat, not a seat, go do what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to carry milk cartons, not supposed to be sat on. And therefore, this is an example of something that might be tamei for tumas meis, but not tamei for tumas midras. Okay. Gemara now says, Karai ladun, din nefashah, anyone that's fit for judging a case of din nefashah, a capital case, Rari Ladin Dine Mamash can also, he's also qualified for judging a monetary case. So that's because the higher standards we have for Dine Fasho, so he could certainly then judge Dine Mamanus. But let's say you have a situation, Shirai Ladin Dine Mamanus, you have instances where a person is fitting to judge a case of Dine Mamanus, a financial dispute, Vaina Rari Ladin Dine Nefasho, but does not qualify for a capital punishment, a din about a death penalty. So the Gemara explains, Amar Rav Yehuda Lasuye Mamzer, this is all to include a Mamzer, that a Mamzer is kosher for Dine Mamanus, but it's possible for Dine Nefashos. So Tanina, we have the Mishnah Rechadazin, already learned this Mishnah once before. This is a Mishnah that appears in Maseches Sanhedrin, that says, Akol Cherim Lodin, everyone's permitted to judge the sin of Din Torah of a Dine Mamanus. Everyone's fit. Certainly then that would include even a Mamzer. Veina Kol Cherim Lodin Dine Nefashos, but not everyone is fit for being a dying on a case of a capital punishment. And we're saying, what's this coming to include? Who's that kol coming to include? Amar Yehuda Lasui Mamzer. So Mamzer is a kasher for Dina Mamzer. So why do we repeat the same din here in Maseches Nida? So the Gemara says, Chadu Lasui Ger, the Chadu Lasui Mamzer. Not, both of them are not teaching us the same din. One in Mishnah, we don't know which one, but one Mishnah is teaching me a Mamzer is fit to judge, and the other case teaching us that a Ger is fit to judge Dina Mamzer as well. And so if you need to teach both of these din and both of Mamzer and a Ger, because had you had one, not the other, you wouldn't have learned the other one. Because the Ashma Eden Ger, if he had only taught me that a Ger is acceptable to be a dying Mishim de Roy Lavobakal, because he's Roy Lavobakal, now that he's converted, he can marry different groups of the Yidden. He's more kosher than a Mamzer in terms of marriage, and since marrying into the Kal. About Mamzer is completely disqualified. The Ain Roy Lavobakal, Aimalo. He's not able to marry into most of the groups of Bnei Israel, and therefore he should be disqualified for being a dayan. Now, Iyashmin and Mamzer, we taught that a Mamzer is kosher to be a dayan for Dina Mamzer. Maybe the Mamzer is better than a Ger, because he comes, his father was a kosher Zera, came from a kosher, but happened to be, it was mixed with a woman who was possible and it disqualified, but the Tipa itself, where it came from, was from a kosher source. The father is a kosher individual. About Ger, the Kosmi Tipa Psula, the Ger came from his father's a Goy. It came from a Tipa Psula, Amalo, perhaps he should be entirely disqualified. Chicha, therefore, we have to teach me two different dinim, that both a Mamzer and a Ger are both acceptable. Just look at the Tosin quickly before we go. We're not going to go into Vaita. The next Mishnah is into the next Gemara. But at least a quick Tosin in the bottom here. Tosin writes, that second here. So Tosis said, "Lasuya mamzer." That mamzer is kosher for a dayan. Tosis writes, "Jim Tomar amai lo kamar lasuya balmum the possible dina nefashos." Why don't we say it's coming to include a balmum, a person who's whatever the balmum is, he's disqualified for dina nefashos. Why are we coming to include a mamzer to be kosher dina mamzer? Why don't we say it's coming to exclude a balmum from judging dina nefashos? The mapik lebe perak echa dina mamnis ubereish metzus chalitza. We learn this din. Why is a balmum possible from dina nefashos? Because kishem she bezdin menukin b'tzedek kach menukin mikol mum. Just like we want the bezdin, the dayarim, to be clean of any sin, of we want them to be entirely honest, we also want them to be physically clean. There shouldn't be any bali mumim. So why don't we teach that was the din here being learned from the Mishnah? And the Tosfos answers v'yesh lomar the lo ari ela b'psul yuchsin. Because our whole discussion here is referring to psul yuchsin. You are ainach anami. We could have said such a din. But balmum isn't a psul in the yichus; it's a psul in the physical makeup of the individual. But ger and mamzer is a question of yuchsin, and that's why we spoke about mamzer and a ger. Look at the very next tosis; he writes chadu lasu ger that a ger is kasher for dun of dini mamunus. Nashma the kasher apagav dein imam yisrael. Pashup shad is referring to a ger, a full ger, which means both parents are not Jewish. That's what a ger is. So even in such a ger is kasher, even though his mother's not from Yisrael, he's still kasher. So Gemara says, Tema, this is a question, because Gemara, Yivamos Daf Mem Hei, Amrinan Rava, Ach Shele Rav married by Rachel, Uminaya, before Sede Babel, that he accepted him as a dayan, married by Rachel. Why call him by Rachel? Because his mother was Jewish. His father wasn't Jewish. His mother was Jewish. The Chayvin, the Imam of Yisrael, Mikai Rechicha, Krinabei, therefore he's qualified as a dayan. Sound like from the Gemara, we only accept a ger, if you will. Even though the father is not Jewish, if the mother is Jewish, the mother has to be Jewish. That's a requirement for being a dayan, even for, a partial ger whose father wasn't Jewish. Even though we assume that one's mother Jewish, he's a complete Jew, there is some discussion of gerus when the father is not Jewish amongst Rishonim. So Tosfos assumes that there's a certain level of gerus that exists when the father isn't Jewish, if the mother, even though the mother is Jewish. But only then, if the mother is Mitzvah, is he acceptable. But if it's not, if both parents are not Jewish and there's a full geirus, that would be disqualified from dini mamonos. So tell us the answer is v'yesh lomar d'hachamari ladun ger chaveyo. You're right. A full ger is puzzle from judging another yid, but a ger can dun another ger. That's allowed. Kedamar perak mitzvah chalitza. That ger dun chaveyo davar torah midderaisa. A ger could judge another ger. But a ger cannot judge another Yisrael. If the ger's mother is Jewish, and the father isn't, which again is a miktas gerus, let's say, then he's able to judge even another Yisrael. V'im ha'yisrael imam Yisrael, he says, if the mother's from Yisrael, Jewish, dan afil Yisrael, and not like Rashi said, the Rashi felt that a ger is able to judge even someone who's fully Jewish, tells things, and no, a ger cannot. The ger can only dan es chaver. Okay, so we'll stop here. Mitzvah Shem, we'll continue tomorrow.